Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, welcome to Red Men News. It's Tuesday, the 5th of November. I am Ross Shelley, joined by Tom Dalton for this one. And you never guess what, Tom?
Go on.
We're back by The Athletic. You know this, but we're going to carry on. As a Redmen News subscriber, viewer, whatever you're listening, whatever you're doing, you're entitled to a 30-day free trial and 50% off your yearly subscription. £2.50 a month. Loads of great writers. You know, you can name them by now. You should know them off by heart.
Just write them in the comments below.
Yeah.
After Ross has just told you them.
Cy Hughes, James Pearce, Rafa Honigstein, Ollie Kay. There's loads, honestly. There's loads. But in all seriousness, there's a very good variant of news, in-depth stuff, analytics stuff, not just your normal breaking news, some insights. You know, we go on about this, but like the James Pearce one with Trent Alexander-Arnold, it's a bit of an exclusive, it's really different. Thomas Pitt one out today, which is completely different. It might not suit everyone, but regardless, it's an historic piece on Liverpool Football Club, and it's actually really interesting.
I think this is brilliant. I mean, this came out, I think it was like 5 or 6 hours ago, and it's called How the Cop Became the Cop, and it's about the Boer War and stuff like that, but it's basically how the spying cop became like part of football like literature. I mean, I've lost my point in the article, which I had, so give me 2 seconds to find it. Here it is. So it's basically talking about, here it says, the two-word phrase quickly entered the everyday vocabulary as an area of land. They're talking about the spying cop. There was a place in Mansfield, there was a cemetery in Hartlepool, and the Scottish coal mine and stuff like that, and these were just like names given to I don't know how to fully explain it. It goes so in-depth in the article. It's really, really fascinating. And a lot of clubs adopted this. A lot of clubs adopted this phrase. And Arsenal had it for a long time. And other cops would rise at Hillsborough and Bramall Lane and Sheffield. And then Liverpool finally got it. And it stuck with Liverpool. Arsenal's cop had gone. Liverpool's cop was young. It was neither famous nor infamous. Its time will come, and it's really interesting because I'd never thought about this, Ross. I never thought, where did the cop come from? I just grew up knowing that it was the cop, and then I read this morning, and I was blown away by like how steeped it is in history.
I had a rough idea because I think I've heard the story a couple of times before, and I think one or two of the Liverpool songs actually is adopted from this story. Mm. But I didn't realize the detail and stuff that kind of went into it. So it's actually really good.
Go over there, genuinely check it out. I mean, we're not doing justice whatsoever. It is a fantastic bit of content, and it just shows that the best part about The Athletic is these writers have a lot of time to spend on these articles and go in depth on the research, and that's what makes it the best for me in terms of they get to sit down and use all of the contacts and really think about the piece. And we've had James Pearson before doing our newsroom, and he tells us just about how much freedom he's got in terms of he's not expected to do a write-up after the game. He can go there, get contact for a future article, which makes that article so much better. Yeah. It's really good.
It's entirely dependent on what you want. If you just want like breaking news now or whatever, stuff like that, then go and do that. But if you're interested in your reading in-depth stuff and learning a bit more and just seeing something like Tom says, it's a bit more well-rounded, it's worth checking out. We know it does anything that we plug it, but obviously, you know, we enjoy it. So, yeah, it's good. It's obviously game day, Liverpool versus Genk tonight. It's a bit of team news, or not team news, I suppose. Liverpool face Genk, go a little bit closer to qualification for Champions League knockout stages, but there's no fresh injury concerns for Jurgen Klopp on his side. So he says we'll hopefully have a couple of fresh legs in. It's clear that we want that, but it's not like we will do so many changes that you cannot recognise our team anymore and think, who is that?
I think it's right, isn't it? Look, we've got a lot of fixtures. Obviously, we played Aston Villa on the weekend. We've got Genk now, tonight, and then we've got to face, it's a massive game in the Premier League City. Yes, we have a lot of time in between between. I was speaking about it on the starting 11. So if you haven't seen that, go over there and have a look. Obviously, I took a lot of your guys' comments and seen different variations of what you guys would like to have seen. We've obviously got the build-up show out there as well, where Ross does a great job of hosting that show as well. But
I think he's not easy boots to fill, Paul and Chris.
No, I mean, there's a few comments wishing them back for City. They will be back for City, don't worry. But I think the fresh leg thing's massive. It's something that Klopp's kind of spoke about throughout his tenure at Liverpool. Fresh legs is first and foremost.
Yeah, it's something that we discussed on the build-up show, actually. I'm interested in your thoughts if you're listening or watching to this. I think the midfield's the big one, obviously. Fabinho was rested at the weekend, which having back in. As a fan, I can't help but have one mind on the Man City game. Yeah. That, but it also, because it's such a huge game, if you can get 3 points here at Genk up and go strong, then we need 1 point if Napoli win from the last two games to show qualification to the group stages. I know it's battle between first and second. So who you prefer to see tonight? Who you drop? Mohamed Salah was another one who's had his ankle drains, had that injury from Charlie, still a knock-on effect. Would you play him? Does Devin Carey deserve to start? He was really good against Arsenal last week. No, there's loads in there, so let us know your thoughts.
I mean, the next article here is from a Belgian journalist, Sven Klaas. I'm guessing that's how you say his name. Let us know in the comments if you're a Belgian man or Swedish, maybe. Who knows?
But anyway, I mean, I'm guessing it says Belgian football journalist. He might be Belgian.
But then you could be Swedish and follow the Belgian. He follows the Bundesliga as well. I went on his Twitter. But I wanted to know how Genk are going to come out here, to be honest with you, because we all know, we follow Liverpool all the time. We know what the score is usually, but basically talking about the manager. And it's talking about, look, they're in a difficult position in the domestic league.
They're eighth,
at the moment.
Aren't they?
Exactly. Well, it says up here, Ross, so let's check. Genk are really struggling. It doesn't say if they're eighth. Let's say they're eighth.
Well, I did the match build-up preview for research yesterday, they're eighth. And they lost 2-0 at the weekend as well.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, but it's quite interesting. We're saying that they get to enjoy the game without any pressure, and the pressure's on Sunday's game. I think that's dangerous for Liverpool. Teams coming to Anfield, obviously there's been a lot of talk as well. They speak about their best player at the moment, who is Sander Berg, and he did an interview speaking about how he can't wait to play at Anfield. This is a massive game for these players, and if they're going out there with the freedom of not really having to, obviously not having to win, so they're going to give it their all to win, if that makes sense, it's dangerous for Liverpool.
Yeah, it's twofold, isn't it? Without sounding completely arrogant, but obviously being European champions, want to play at Anfield, he's obviously got his reputation. Players want to go and play there, and they want to go and have a good time and enjoy the football, but also they've got 1 point on the table, so they need to win. So what have they got to lose? They throw the kitchen sink at us, lose 4-0, sound, or they sit back and get done as well, or on a counter-attack, whatever their plan is, but they need to win.
I mean, I'm interested to know everyone else's thoughts in the comments on the question I'm about to ask you, Ross, but do you think it's going to... I say it's going to be dangerous for Liverpool, but when teams come out of Liverpool, historically we do quite well, because obviously we like to push people forward. When we're on the break and our tails are up, we demolish teams. So do you think it look, we do need to be careful, but is it going to be a positive for Liverpool if Genk do come out and try and go for the win early on?
I'd like to think so. I think we see the low block sides to try against Liverpool. I think we take our time. I think we're a bit more calculated. I think we're not under much pressure. We don't try and force it like we did like two seasons ago. Maybe we can take our time, break people down like that. More so in the 94th minute, which I'd rather we didn't.
Yeah.
Race teams come out, it creates that space and we get runners in behind. Obviously, you've got Salah, Mane. If you play Chamberlain, obviously, you can drive it at defence as well.
Yeah.
I think that would help us play our game a lot more and a bit more fluidity. But at the same time, we need to be switched on at the back, because, you know, with clean sheets haven't come thick and fast so far this season. We'll wait and see.
No, I mean, it is going to be very interesting. Like I said, let us know your thoughts in the comments. It's interesting. Obviously, we do have Genk tonight. It is the big focus. Alisson speaks about it. Klopp speaks about it. We think about the next game first. We don't worry about the one after that. But it is Man City, Ross.
Yeah.
Pep Guardiola came out on the weekend, basically, after this game. City have just won. He got asked about Liverpool, and then he brandished Mane a diver. Thoughts?
This is something that we sussed on the Round League show yesterday. I get he was asked about Liverpool, but the bit I took from it was the fact that he wasn't asked about Mane specifically, and he said, oh, sometimes, you know, it's good play, sometimes he's dying, blah, blah, blah. I think when, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw bricks. I know Sterling's been accused of doing it before, and Mane made the most of his contact at Villa on Sunday, and it's happened before, and obviously he got booked and stuff, but... Like, I just don't like mind games. Just like, who gives a shit? Just like, you both got games tonight.
The managers are very good at it, though. I mean, obviously Ferguson was fantastic at it, Mourinho was fantastic at it. Just getting under people's skin, and I don't think Klopp will.
I don't think it makes a difference. No,
of course it doesn't. And Klopp, look, we know how cool and collected Klopp is. He won't care. He'll just laugh it off. It is interesting. Someone put a compilation out on Twitter of Pep. Look at this, and a lot of them. There was contact, and I know you can say, oh, blah, blah, blah. But these players aren't stupid. Mane's very good at it as well. Sterling's great at it. Kane's great at it. Aguero's great at it. Suarez was fantastic at it. Drogba was unbelievable at it. It was one of Drogba's best qualities, I thought, is being able to drop to the ground and get free kicks in dangerous areas. The art of getting contact and then going on the floor, yes, there's an element of diving. Of course there is. But it's a big part of the game at the moment. And I remember a few seasons ago, we'd watched the Champions League when Liverpool was first coming back into it under Klopp and a bit under Rodgers. We'd look at it and we'd go, that's what the Champions League is now.
It's
people jumping on the floor to get free kicks in dangerous positions.
It's one of the forms of dark arts, isn't it? And you love it when your players do it and win something for you, but you hate it when someone else does it against you. So it's both teams do it. Every team does it.
Well, Ross, you know when a centre-half... Like, City are fantastic at this as well. Centre-half kind of fucks up a bit, tiny little bit, and someone puts his arm on his shoulder and he jumps to the floor. This is a Premier League centre-half who battles with people week in, week out, and a touch to his back makes him drop to the deck and the ref gives it. That's what I mean in terms of buying fouls, and it's just a very interesting conversation.
It's exacerbated when it's in a penalty area. Then, isn't it? It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same situation you're talking
about.
With the
VAR stuff, it gets scrutinised so much.
No, but I mean,
well,
when it's in the penalty area and someone's doing the exact same thing as a centre half would do there, yeah. You don't blink twice when it's a centre half. Go fucking hell, get up when it's in the penalty area. It's a dive.
It's a very interesting conversation. What do you think of Pep Guardiola's mind games and Klopp's response to it, in which he was just like, "Well, I don't want to speak about City. He wants to speak about Genk." He's a very clever man, as Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, but we're going to need to talk about Man City in his next story, Tom. Despite it being Genk tonight. Liverpool fans react as Michael Oliver is named as referee for Man City clash. This might be music to some people's ears. It's probably the best of a bad job. I think he's probably one of the better referees. But it was supposed to be Martin Atkinson, and for some reason, I can't think why, Tom.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Because he's shit at his job.
But no, but does that mean that the governing body just don't trust him? Like, that's
probably
weird.
Just take him out of the limelight to protect him. But loads of people reacted and said, thank God it's that Martin Atkinson. There is a God, best ref in the Prem, most consistent ref in the league. At a time when the qualifying refereeing coach is often criticised, often rightly, Oliver is the best in the country. He's the ideal appointment for the Liverpool City meeting, hopefully avoiding controversy at the top of the table clash.
It is an ideal one. I think you're right with the Martin Atkinson stuff. He's had a bit of a nightmare, to be honest.
Not just the Liverpool games, by the way.
No, I know, that's what I mean. He's had a massive bit of a nightmare, and the VAR is obviously a massive thing at the moment. There is a meeting taking place, Ross, with this VAR stuff, as you can see on the screen now. Premier League to discuss radical VAR changes, including appeals from managers. That's the big thing here. Premier League managers could be allowed to appeal a refereeing decision during a match amid a number of potential VAR changes.
But they shouldn't have to. They should just fucking get it right in the first
place. No, but it's quite interesting that obviously there's going to be a whole host of things brought forward. Basically, it's a big meeting where lots of people give their criticism. Leave us your thoughts on what you think should be changed with VAR. So I'll take a few of them later and we'll discuss them. But there's a lot of different thoughts of what could be changed, what could be implemented. Going to the screens, for one,
Did you see that
nice.
In the Times this morning?
Exactly, yeah. that Premier League referees don't go to the screens for VAR because it's not a thing.
But everybody else does.
Yes, it's weird. What do you think about this manager challenging thing? Sort of like a tennis thing where you get a challenge and then anywhere on the pitch you can challenge a decision with VAR. That's quite interesting for me.
It is, but it shouldn't be a thing. You shouldn't get to a manager having to appeal a decision. VAR's been brought in to get the decisions right and they can't do it, then that should be changed. I voiced my opinions quite clearly on the Iran League yesterday for quite a while. The people that are in charge of it, get rid of him. Mark Reaction's not good enough. John
but
Moss
I'm not
is
talking
not good
about
enough.
Penalties and offsides. I'm talking about a free kick. I'm talking about an innocuous free kick that...
Yeah, so you get like two shouts a game?
No, genuinely. And you go, right, ref, that was a foul, I challenge you. When the ball goes out of play and then it goes back to there. I wonder how that would work. But I think that's really interesting in terms of you could literally have... Jürgen Klopp could say... Like, a manager, for instance, could be like, I think... It could be as little as, that's a foul throw. You know what I mean? And you go, no, ref, check that. That's a foul throw.
But the referee should be spotting things like that anyway.
Of course, but like it doesn't
I get your argument, but I don't. Managers shouldn't be not involved in refereeing the game. They should be able to do
But then it happens in tennis, and I know it's a different sport.
But it's binary, isn't it?
But then that's what I mean. It's a foul throw is binary. That's what I mean.
But the referee should see a foul throw and go, that's a foul throw.
100%. But then the umpire in tennis should see that the ball goes out of play, but he doesn't, so they brought in Hawkeye.
But Hawkeye's a bit different to a foul throw.
No, it's the same thing. It's video.
No.
It's video help.
I'm not having it.
Let us know your thoughts. We're obviously disagreeing. We'll have a talk off camera. Probably end up in a fight. No, we won't.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
moving on. Liverpool's goal of the month. This is on liverpoolfc.com. Go over there and check it out and vote for your goal of the month. I've already got one lined up. Here are the options.
Yeah, I've already voted for this. Mainly because, obviously, Chamberlain's goal is the right answer.
It is the right answer, yeah.
I can't remember half the other ones. Origi's first and second, yes, I remember. Salah versus Genk, also a very good goal. Chamberlain versus Arsenal, very good goal. Yeah. Brewster, I've not seen. Sadio Mane v Leicester? Sai's very good at this.
Was it the chip? Was it the throwing thing? No, that was against Genk.
We won the game with the penalty, didn't we?
Yeah.
But I can't remember the first goal.
Well, there you go. Oh, well. I mean,
professional.
You should have watched these
It's
before,
just so much that comes at you.
Well, we score so many fantastic goals, Si, that we just can't remember them all. I'm going to vote for that one because it is the right answer. There we go.
Oh, Tom.
Oh, this is your fault.
Why?
Because you did it on our account. Anyway, let's move swiftly on. We've already voted for that one, but Ross did it. Lastly, decisions on playing Liverpool's Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane, Naby Keita made for respective AFCON qualifiers. That is a long, long title. Basically, three African players in our squad have been named in their respective squads. That Salah's gone for Egypt, Mane's gone for Senegal, and Keita is going with Guinea. So in the next international break, they're all going to be going away and playing their respective friendlies. Salah got rested, Naby Keita was obviously injured, and Mane, I can't remember if he went or if he got rested as well. But I think, look, there was an interview with that James Pearce did on The Athletic with Trent, and he spoke to him about playing for your club and your country, and Trent was just like, it's always a dream of mine to play for my country. It must be at the top level. These players want to play for their respective countries, don't they?
Yeah, I get that and I respect that. Obviously not a fan of international football and wish they could have a little break. And particularly with Mohamed Salah, I think you've got to be careful with his injury.
Yeah.
I think he's been pushed quite a lot in the past few weeks. And I think you've seen that in some of his performances, particularly against Aston Villa. I think he was very good. But, you know, as I said, he hadn't trained and he had fluid drained from his ankle because he got injured. Kate is an interesting one because of all the stuff that happened previously during the summer when he got taken away and he should have been rested and that aggravated his injury. Mm-hmm. And I think two people got sacked from the setup of Guinea to do with like just things that they shouldn't have been doing basically. And then Sadio Mane, fine. I'd rather they were rested. just because I want them to be that good for this January, December.
Yeah, it's fair. Let us know your thoughts in the comments as well. Speaking of that, Simon, do you have any comments for us?
I have, yeah. We haven't got time for too many. I'll just read out one or two. So on the VAR stuff, Paul Young says, teaching Atkinson, Moss and the other older refs VAR is like teaching your nana to use an iPad when they come out. And then John Pritchard, and I agree with, said VAR is already stopping games and ruining the flow too much. Absolutely not into that manager challenge idea.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I understand that.
I mean, you're wrong.
I mean, we're all entitled to our own opinions.
You are, but it's wrong.
Go and check out the Around the League show. Went out this morning where Ross, Ben and Jack basically went in on VAR. I remember there was a distinct moment, Ross, where you didn't stop ranting for a good 4 minutes. On VAR, it was a good rant as well. Go over there, check it out, because I was just sat there agreeing with most of it, to be honest with you, which I don't normally do with you. So
No, it's just a bit of a joke, isn't it? Frustrating for it's for everyone, and like they're trying to make it better. And when you see what's going on in other leagues and stuff, I'm not going to do me a rant now, but it's just embarrassing. And that comment's right. I blame the referees, the people in charge, but aren't good enough. So we'll wrap it up there.
No, we're going to take one more. Come on, Sykes, one more. Put you on the spot, but I want one more.
So on the Guardiola Klopp stuff,
yeah.
Matthew McGraw, he says, guaranteed he's only mentioned the diamond to get the excuses in already. Pretty sad. And Rob D says, Guardiola can keep his mind games. Klopp's too busy concentrating on what we're going to do to be concerned about Guardiola. Control what you can control.
That's a very good point. Actually, it might just be mind games between managers. It might be mind games to put pressure on the referee. As if to say, well, Manny's dying. And is that in Michael Oliver's head? Is he going into the games as something to watch out for? Maybe it is pretty clever.
No, I'm sure there's going to be repercussions to it, whether it'll be in the back of people's heads. Hopefully it's just in the back of Pep Guardiola's minds too much. Hopefully it's in the back of Man City's defenders too much. Can we get close to Mane? Is he going to drop to the floor? Can we get too close and then we score because of that? Or they go in and have a stronger one. Look, if Mane's in the box and gets kicked in the back of the leg again and he goes down and it's a penalty. And I'm sure Sterling will do the exact same thing and both sets of fans will be livid if it goes either way. But at the end of the day, it is a part of the game. It is one of them.
What are the odds of a VAR controversy deciding this game on Sunday?
Oh, massive. But then...
Or not deciding.
Well, exactly. I think the thing with Liverpool and City is they have been so tight. It's been these clearances off the line. It's been these little fouls. It's been Mahrez missing pens. It was so close to each other in terms of being two world-class sides that it always comes down to these things because, I mean, think of Liverpool against Chelsea in the run-in to Istanbul and stuff like that. It's two massive sides fighting against each other and it's going to come down to minute details, and now we have the video technology to show us the finest of details.
Yep, armpits offside and all. We'll wrap it up there. Don't forget to go and check out The Athletic, www.theathletic.co.uk/redmennews, to go and get 50% off a yearly subscription and a 30-day free trial. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:30. If you're going to the game tonight, enjoy it. If you're watching it at home, enjoy it. If you're going to the pub, enjoy it even more. See ya.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.